Welcome to Cole Sports. You have entered the zone called sports on another level. And now, here's your host, Cole Johnson.
Cole Sports! I am that man, your man, the illustrious tour guide, Cole Johnson. And on this episode, we're going to talk about last shots. We're also going to cover the diaspora of the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs, the second round edition of 2017. We're going to deal with the NFL draft a little bit, and we're going to put a subject on the further review as we always do. But for right now, let's get to the headlines. Dateline, Cleveland, and Indianapolis. Well, after the Pacers decided to blow a 26-point lead in Game 3, they also decided to waste a comeback effort in Game 4 at home. So that basically means it's adieu for the Pacers as the Cavs go onward to the Eastern Conference semifinals, where they'll host either the Raptors or the Bucks. Well, after the 106-102 victory, the Cavs played in this round, which was somewhat to be expected considering how they've been playing the last 2 months. But the star of the show really was Paul George, who after Game 1 chastised CJ Miles in public and saying that he should be the one to take the last shot in those instances, had a chance to do the same down 105-102, and he took the last shot, barely drawing iron. Well, I put it to you this way, Paul. You're right. You are the man to take the last shot. And now, because you took the last shot for your team, you are out the playoffs. Beautiful. Forget basketball. Let's just simply do it on my own show. Sound play. Dateline, Oklahoma City and Houston. Well, after the Rockets decided to end their series with the Thunder, the war of words between Russell Westbrook or Zero Chill and Patrick Beverley, aka the Nat, was on. So after Game 5, the two were asked about their tete-a-tete in the fourth quarter of Game 5. From Westbrook, this is what he had to say about the incident. Quote, Beverly was talking about how he was first team all defense, but I don't know what the he was talking about because I had 42 at the time. I don't know what he's talking about. Maybe he was dreaming or some. I don't know. Close quote. Well, not to be outdone, Mr. Beverly decided to opine this take. Quote, he looked up and said, no one can guard me. I got 40 points. I'm like, that's nice. He took 34 shots to get it. Close quote. Dateline NHL playoffs. The first round is over. Now the second round begins. And here are your matchups for the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs for 2017. Out in the West, in the Pacific Division, you have the Ducks going up against the Oilers. In the Central Division, you have the Blues going up against the only wildcard team left now, the Predators. In the Atlantic Division, you have the Senators and the Rangers. And then there is the Metropolitan Division, where we have a familiar matchup, Washington Capitals and Pittsburgh Penguins. The question, of course, that looms in everybody's mind when it comes to hockey in this instance is the following. Will this be the year that the Washington Capitals advance past the team that is considered their kryptonite, or will the Penguins get over on them once again? Dateline San Francisco. Left-hander ace Madison Bumgarner, been struggling a little bit as of late, 0-3 with a 3 ERA, decided to struggle just a wee bit more, because he is now the recipient of an accident riding a dirt bike. Well, manager Bruce Bochy had this to say about the incident. Quote, if I was there, sure, I wouldn't let him on that bike. I mean, I'm sure looking at it now, Madison wishes he wouldn't have gotten on. He's very remorseful in talking to him. Unfortunately, an accident happened. So our focus is more on let's get him healthy. It happened. Let's get him well and get him back on the mound. Close quote. When asked what did Madison think or say about the incident and how he felt toward the team, Bochy had this to say as well. Quote, he said, you know, I should say I'm sorry. I don't think I need to because I feel terrible for what happened. Close quote. Well, you may feel terrible, Madison, but I'm sure your arm feels a whole lot worse. When I come back, we're going to put a good subject on a further review, but immediately following the break, we are going in the first round of the 2017 NFL Draft. Be right back. The domain industry is growing rapidly, and it's time for you to share in the wealth. Our friends over at Domain.com challenges industry heavyweights head-on and offers a simple checkout process, industry-low prices, and excellent service. Domain.com offers a wide selection of domain extensions, including .com domains, for a low, low price. How low, you ask? How about $10.47 a year or less? And that's a deal, right? Well, how about this? Act now and you can get a domain today for 15% off. Just use the code AFCOM, that is AFFCOM. And a discount is yours when you get your domain. You need web hosting? They do that too. In fact, if you purchase web hosting with domain.com, you get 25% off using the code 25HOST, AFFCOM, for 15% off your new name. 25HOST for 25% off your web hosting. It's worth your while. Domain.com. The starting place for everything that happens online. So another year, another first round of the NFL draft is in the books, and the big prevailing story happens to fall in Chicago with the Bears. What are the Bears thinking? I don't really get it. Okay, correct me if I'm wrong here, but didn't they in March sign a quarterback off the free agency market? Didn't they decide to roll $19 million guaranteed in his direction? And normally when you roll that type of money in a quarterback's direction, that is a clear cut sign that you are willing to go, you are our starter with him. And the quarterback in question is Mike Glennon, formerly of the Bucks. You commit 3 years, $45 million, $19 million of that guaranteed. And 6 weeks later, you decide to draft a quarterback in the first round. And not only that, but trade up to get him. Not only that, trade up one spot to get him. Not only that, mortgage your future to where you could probably do even more damage to your team, trading up that one spot to get said quarterback in the first round. What type of sense does that make? And because of that move, the Bears have made the new general manager of the San Francisco 49ers, John Lynch, look like an absolute genius. They moved down a spot. They got extra draft picks. They got extra future draft picks on top of it. So, I mean, I just don't get it. And I don't get the logic. I don't get the thought process of the Bears. If they wanted Trubisky, they could. I don't think the 49ers was going to draft him. Yes, they need a quarterback, but Trubisky was not going to be the guy they were going to draft. So I don't know what type of thought process they had or have, but man, it was faulty. Whatever reconnaissance they got from the 49ers war room, man, it was completely off. That pretty much was the highlight of the first round, because really some teams actually did good things, such as the Bills and the Chiefs. Now, I will say this. I think the Chiefs gave up a little too much, but the Bills were willing to be trade partners and they got the deal they wanted because they got the Chiefs first round draft pick of next year to move down 15 spots. The Chiefs moved up 15 to draft Patrick Mahomes. Now, I thought that was the guy that the Texans should have targeted because he had the arm. They pretty much knew the guy. You know, I thought that would be a good fit for them. Andy Reid thought they'll be even better fit in Kansas City. Not hating that and not hating on him for that. notable picks were as follows. Leonard Fournette went to the Jaguars, and this was definitely a sign from head coach Tom Coughlin. I want physicality on my team. The Panthers draft Christian McCaffrey. Interesting from the standpoint of, talk about physicality, the Panthers are all about that. And McCaffrey is not what you call a physical back. He's more of a versatile one, sort of a Marshall Faulk-ish, LaDainian Tomlinson without the power. That's how I would view McCaffrey. John Ross, wide receiver. The Bengals picked him up, so they got their man in Ross. The only issue with him, he has injury problems. The Cowboys did draft defense with a defensive end in Taco Charlton, so kudos to them for that. The Texans made a big, bold move. They drafted a quarterback in the first round for the first time in 15 years. They went up from 25 to 12 to get their man in Deshaun Watson. And I will still say this, that was the move of the draft, because the Texans needed to actually, as a team, say, we're going to stake our claim on a franchise quarterback in this draft. They did that. I'm happy they did that, because now people are going to have to take the Texans just a tad bit more seriously. And there were other good picks. Take, for instance, the Buccaneers with O.J. Howard. I think that is a dynamic pick, considering that they have weapons galore already for Winston. Now you add a tight end like him. Ooh, man. The Steelers made a good pick with T.J. Watt. I think he's going to be a good pass rusher for them in their 3-4. Jamal Adams, a good safety out of LSU. The Jets got him, and I think that will help their secondary. But to me, the winners of this round go to the Browns. Their grade was going to be high simply because they actually drafted Myles Garrett, which was the move they needed to make, because they needed a pass rusher. More than they needed a quarterback, they needed a pass rusher, because there wasn't a quarterback that was better than Myles Garrett. No quarterback in this draft was. None. Then, of course, that move earlier where the Texans and the Browns swap positions in the first round, they get Jabril Peppers. Now, yeah, earlier in the week, he had a drug test. But then they traded back into the first round after that, and they drafted David Njoku. Yeah, the tight end from the U. That adds another weapon to, well, we don't know the quarterback. But I really believe that the Browns were about building that team almost from scratch. And this was actually brilliant. They actually were willing to mix and match and tinker and tweak to get the guys they wanted. And to me, I think that it was brilliant. It was just brilliant how they just maneuvered for themselves all across the board in the first round to where they ended up getting three good quality picks. So if this season is in any indication of an improvement from this draft, we'll probably look to April 27th, 2017 as the time that the lowly Cleveland Browns turned it around. Who would have said that, considering the bad luck, the bad breaks, and the bad decisions they have made year after year after year after year? And of course, the many first round draft picks they've used as quarterbacks and how they have or have not panned out over the years also made me say they are looking to turn a new corner, not putting their horse on a quarterback with their first overall. So kudos to the Browns. They really came to play this year in the draft. They were not playing around. When I come back, we're going to put a subject under further review, and I really want you to listen closely to me. We'll be right back. For you, the Cold Sports VIPs, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. There are many audiobooks from which to choose. How about this one? The Best in the World at What I Have No Idea by Peter Thomas Fornatale and Chris Jericho. How about Serena Williams by J.D. Rockefeller? Congratulations on your pregnancy, Serena. Hope everything goes well. How about Moneyball, The Art of Winning an Unfair Game by Michael Lewis? And I just saw the movie starring Brad Pitt. Wonderful story. You can download any of those books among the 180,000 they have in store. So to download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/coldsports. Again, that's audibletrial.com/coldsports with a Z for your free audiobook. Hey, you know, after you listen to Cold Sports, why don't you try listening to one of these books? Download them now. Give it a try. Enjoy these books and more. Free 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/coldsports with a Z. Audible.com, where powerful voices bring books to life. Next episode of Cold Sports, we're going to dive a little more into the NHL and NBA playoffs. We're, of course, are going to award the Dolt of the Week. You know, we have to highlight somebody doing something ignominious. And we're going to put a subject. I really think you all are going to love this one upon further review, because this one is a Champions Personified Edition. This Tuesday, Michelle Price Johnson, a podcast for Profit Academy, will join me on Conversations. Oh, you're going to enjoy it. And in May, the first installment of a new podcast special. That was then a sports retrospective. Tune into it. Y'all are going to love it. But those are for episodes for the future. We're not dealing with the future, though. We're dealing with the present. And we're going to put this subject, really don't want to do it, but have to do it, upon further review. Quote, ESPN has been actively engaged throughout its history in navigating changes in technology and fan behavior in order to continue to deliver quality breakthrough content. Today, we are again focused on a strategic vision that will propel our vast array of networks and services forward. A necessary component of managing change involves constantly evaluating how we best utilize all of our resources, and that sometimes involves difficult decisions. Our content strategy, primarily illustrated in recent months by melding distinct, personality-driven SportsCenter TV editions and digital-only efforts with our biggest sub-brand, still needs to go further, faster, and as always, must be efficient and nimble. Dynamic change demands an increased focus on versatility and value. And as a result, we have been engaged in the challenging process of determining the talent, anchors, analysts, reporters, writers, and those who handle play-by-play necessary to meet those demands. We will implement changes in our talent lineup this week. A limited number of other positions will also be affected, and a handful of new jobs will be posted to fill various needs. These decisions impact talented people who have done great work for our company. I would like to thank all of them for their efforts and their many contributions to ESPN. Our objective in all we do is to best serve fans and their changing consumption habits while still maintaining an unparalleled and diverse talent roster that resonates with fans across all our platforms. We will continue to foster creativity and investment in the products and resources necessary to embrace the opportunities that lie ahead. Thank you, as always, for your continuing dedication to our work. John Skipper, President of ESPN. Closed quote. And with that, we got a chance to see 100 people laid off. Many talented people amongst the 100. Talents such as Trent Dilfer, Lynn Elmore, Danny Cannell, Andy Katz, and Ed Werder. It hurts to see any group of people go for budgetary reasons. It's no secret that ESPN has suffered a dip in subscriptions and monetary benefit, with many stations coming to eat at the monopoly that was ESPN all of, I would say, what, 20, 25 years ago? You have CBS Sports wanting to take a piece. You have NBC Sports wanting to take a piece. Fox Sports One. And then there's other outlets, both digital and broadcast, that wants to bite a little bit into what ESPN established way back in 1979. In a New York Times piece, it said that ESPN has lost more than 10 million subscribers over the past several years. What has not been discussed about the coverage ESPN has made is that, yeah, they're losing subscribers, but broadcasting the major sports, the stuff that people want to see, is on an uptick. Like the 8-year over $15 billion deal, yes, B, not M, with the NFL as an extension. The 9-year $12 billion deal that they have with the NBA. Oh, and throw in another $7.3 billion for the college football playoffs. You see, the stuff that people want to see, the action, the sports, it costs. So for those to just simply think, well, it's about a program agenda or it's about political leanings, you're off base. ESPN does not do Meet the Press or Crossfire or State of the Union or the Situation Room. They don't have Maxine Waters or Paul Ryan or Rand Paul or President Donald Trump or Sean Spicer to talk about policy. They don't have Cory Booker on to talk about what he thinks about a Supreme Court justice. That is politics. What ESPN does is nowhere near politics. It may be ideological, but it's not political, which gets me to some of the outrage that many Twitter gangsters want to put forth and who is still at ESPN, mainly Stephen A. Smith, Michael Smith, and Jemele Hill. Many were with total vitriol on Twitter, went absolute ham on wanting to know why certain personalities were gone, but why these personalities stayed. In Stephen A. Smith's case, when you make $3.5 million a year and you are the reason why people tune into ESPN, ESPN will be an absolute fool to let him go, because guaranteed, I'm sure he would get paid even more with Fox wanting to sprinkle more stuff at him, because I know they would hunger to probably reunite him with Skip Bayless. And each of them could make $5 to $6 million a year doing the same thing that they did in ESPN. And then you can rail against them saying, well, this politics stuff has to go. You're not saying that the Fox Sports won, yet you're tuning into them. And then the former His and Hers, now current SportsCenter 6 tandem of Michael Smith and Jemele Hill. Many were calling for their heads. Why are they still on TV? God, they are garbage. Man, they need to go. Okay, let's put logic in effect here, shall we? Back in November, they told us that the company wanted to back their show and get them to a bigger platform than they were. Fast forward roughly 5 months later, their show started the Monday after the Super Bowl, so now it's almost 3 months. Why would any company want to pull the plug from a show when they put this tandem together on a prime spot less than 3 months after they have started it, sunk money into them, promoted them, and premiere them? What sense does that make? The anguish that many of you have is completely misguided. There are four names right now in ESPN, and this was even before they let go of the personalities that were shown the door, that in 2017 matter more than everybody else on that network. Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, Michael Smith, Jemele Hill. What I don't get is, why do you all want to clamor to see someone's job be extinct? Why? You see, I had a job in the same industry, media. I was advancing the way I was supposed to advance, and my team and I were going good. Then a merger happened. In a blink of an eye, I was out of a job. So for many of you to have this cavalier attitude of wanting to have people fired, you're out your noodle. We're talking about livelihoods here. You had Danny Cannell on Twitter saying that I uprooted my family and moved them to Bristol because of this opportunity here. And now it's gone. Focus on that. Focus on many good colleagues, many good analysts, many good anchors, many good reporters who did their jobs day after day, month after month, year after year, devoted to the company, and then their knees are chopped from them and they have no legs on which to stand. All of these people, those who left ESPN and those who have stayed on ESPN, that they all have families and they need your support and your kind words of encouragement more than they need your anger in who stays and who goes. If you happen to like this episode or any episode you've heard thus far, a special, an interview, or a regular show, why don't you follow me on Twitter at @Cole_sports. That's sports with a Z. You can also follow me on Facebook. Come on now. Cole Sports. That's sports with a Z. Make your voice heard. Go to SpeakPipe, S-P-E-A-K, pipe.com/Cole Sports with a Z. Click on that link. Hit record. Speak your mind. Press send. It is that simple. Go to link, record, speak, send. Go to speakpipe.com/Cole Sports with a Z, or check the show notes to this show and you'll see the link, Cole Sports VIP Speak. And make your presence felt. Join us. You want to vote on Dolt of the Month, or Dolt of the Quarter, or Dolt of the Year even, or any other things on which to vote, like future episodes of That Was Then, you can come to the Cole Sports VIP Room. It's in Facebook. Go in groups. Search for Cole Sports VIP Room. That's sports with a Z. Or you can go to the show notes on this episode and you'll see Cole Sports VIP Room. Canadian friends, thank you, my friends. Sports with a Z. Now, you can follow me also on social media platforms galore. Stitcher, SoundCloud, Google Play, Google Plus, iTunes, or Apple Podcasts, YouTube, Pinterest, Instagram, Acast, Player FM, Blueberry. Like, share, rate, review, subscribe. Thank you for the likes. Thank you for the retweets. Thank you for the comments. Thank you for the love. I appreciate all of them. Spread the word and spread the love. I thank you so much from the bottom of my heart that you do. More importantly, you can follow this episode or any episodes previous to this one on ColeSports.com. That's ColeSports.com. You can check out me or these episodes on ColeSports.com. And no matter how you listen to me, when you listen to me, or where you do, I just want you to do this one simple thing. And that is to enjoy the content. For the Intelligent Sportsman, I am Cole Johnson, and this is...
You've been listening to Cole Sports with Cole Johnson.